In our calmer intervals, Charles gave the following account of himself, every word of which was true. He was the only son of a father who, having a small post in the revenue, rather overlived his income, and had given this young gentleman a very slender education. No profession had he bred him up to, but designed to provide for him in the army by purchasing him an ensign's commission. That is to say, provided he could raise the money or procure it by interest, either of which clauses was rather to be wished than hoped for by him. On no better a plan, however, had this improvident father suffered this youth, a youth of great promise, to run up to the age of manhood, or near it at least, in next to idleness, and had, besides, taken no sort of pains to give him even the common premonitions against the vices of the town, and the dangers of all sorts which wait the unexperienced and unwary in it. He lived at home, and at discretion, with his father, who himself kept a mistress, and for the rest, provided Charles did not ask him for money, he was indolently kind to him. He might lie out when he pleased, any excuse would serve, and even his reprimands were so slight that they carried with them rather an air of connivance at the fault than any serious control or constraint. But to supply his calls for money, Charles, whose mother was dead, had by her side a grandmother who doted upon him. She had a considerable annuity to live on, and very regularly parted with every shilling she could spare to this darling of hers, to the no little heartburn of his father, who was vexed, not that she by this means fed his son's extravagance, but that she preferred Charles to himself. And we shall too soon see what a fatal turn such a mercenary jealousy could operate in the breast of a father. Charles was, however, by the means of his grandmother's lavish fondness, very sufficiently enabled to keep a mistress so easily contented as my love made me, and my good fortune, for such I must ever call it, threw me in his way, in the manner above related, just as he was on the lookout for one. Making the most of love and life, did we stay in this lodging in Chelsea about 10 days, in which time Charles took care to give his excursions from home a favourable gloss, and to keep his footing with his fond, indulgent grandmother, from whom he drew constant and sufficient supplies for the charge I was to him, and which was very trifling, in comparison with his former less regular course of pleasures. Charles removed me then to a private, ready-furnished lodging in St. James's, where he paid half a guinea a week for 2 rooms and a closet on the second floor, which he had been some time looking out for, and was more convenient for the frequency of his visits than where he had at first placed me, in a house which I cannot say but I left with regret, as it was infinitely endeared to me by the first possession of my Charles, and the circumstance of losing there that jewel which could never be twice lost. The landlord, however, had no reason to complain of anything, but of a procedure in Charles too liberal not to make him regret the loss of us. The landlady, Mrs. Jones, waited on us to our apartment, and with great volubility of tongue explained to us all its conveniences, that her own maid should wait on us, that the best of quality had lodged at her house, that her first floor was let to a foreign secretary of an embassy, and his lady, that I looked like a very good-natured lady. When she saw such a young pair come under her roof, her immediate notions, doubtless, were how she should make the most money of us, by every means that money might be made, and which, she rightly judged, our situation and inexperience would soon beget her occasions of. In this hopeful sanctuary, and under the clutches of this harpy, did we pitch our residence. It will not be mighty material to you, or very pleasant to me, to enter into a detail of all the petty, cut-throat ways and means with which she used to fleece us, all which Charles indolently chose to bear with, rather than take the trouble of removing, the difference of expense being scarce attended to by a young gentleman who had no idea of stint, or even of economy, and a raw country girl who knew nothing of the matter. In our cessations from active pleasure, Charles framed himself one, in instructing me, as far as his own lights reached, in a great many points of life that I was, in consequence of my non-education, perfectly ignorant of. Nor did I suffer one word to fall in vain from the mouth of my lovely teacher. I hung on every syllable he uttered, and received as oracles all he said, whilst kisses were all the interruption I could not refuse myself the pleasure of admitting from lips that breathed more than Arabian sweetness. My country accent and the rusticity of my gait, manners and deportment began now sensibly to wear off, so quick was my observation, and so efficacious my desire of growing every day worthier of his heart. Our landlady, Mrs. Jones, came frequently up to my apartment, from whence I never stirred on any pretext without Charles. Nor was it long before she wormed out, without much art, the secret of our having cheated the church of a ceremony, and, in course, of the terms we lived together upon. A circumstance which far from displeased her, considering the designs she had upon me. The barbarity of my fate soon saved her the task of disuniting us. I had now been 11 months with this life of my life, which had passed in one continued rapid stream of delight, but nothing so violent was ever made to last. I was about 3 months gone with child by him, when the mortal, the unexpected blow of separation fell upon us. I shall gallop post over the particulars, which I shudder yet to think of, and cannot to this instant reconcile myself how or by what means I could outlive it. 2 lifelong days had I lingered through without hearing from him, I who breathed, who existed but in him, and had never yet seen 24 hours pass without seeing or hearing from him. The 3rd day, my impatience was so strong, my alarms had been so severe, that I, perfectly sickened with them, and being unable to support the shock longer, I sunk upon the bed, and ringing for Mrs. Jones, who had far from comforted me under my anxieties, she came up. I had scarce breath and spirit enough to find words to beg of her, if she would save my life, to fall upon some means of finding out instantly what was become of its only comfort. She pitied me in a way that rather sharpened my affliction than suspended it, and went out upon this commission. Far she had not to go. Charles's father lived but an easy distance in one of the streets that run into Covent Garden. There she went into a public house, and from thence sent for a maidservant, whose name I had given her, as the properest to inform her. The maid readily came, and as readily, when Mrs. Jones inquired of her what was become of Mr. Charles, or whether he was gone out of town, acquainted her with the disposal of her master's son, which, the very day after, was no secret to the servants. Such sure measures had he taken for the most cruel punishment of his child, for having more interest with his grandmother than he had. Though he made use of a pretence, plausible enough, to get rid of him in this abrupt manner, for fear her fondness should have interposed a bar to his leaving England, and proceeding on a voyage he had concerted for him, which pretext was that it was indispensably necessary to secure a considerable inheritance that devolved to him by the death of a rich merchant at one of the factories in the South Seas, of which he had lately received advice, together with a copy of the will. In consequence of which resolution to send away his son, he had, unknown to him, made the necessary preparations for fitting him out, struck a bargain with the captain of a ship, whose punctual execution of his orders he had secured by his interest with his principal owner, and, in short, concerted his measures so secretly that whilst his son thought he was going down the river for a few hours, he was stopped on board of a ship, debarred from writing, and more strictly watched than a state criminal. Thus was the idol of my soul torn from me, and forced on a long voyage, without receiving one line of comfort, except a dry explanation from his father how to proceed when he should arrive at his destined port, enclosing withal some letters of recommendation to a factor there. All these particulars I did not learn minutely till some time after. The maid, at the same time, added that she was sure this usage of her sweet young master would be the death of his grandmama, as indeed it proved true. For the old lady, on hearing it, did not survive the news a whole month, and as her fortune consisted in an annuity, out of which she had laid up no reserves, she left nothing worth mentioning to her so fatally envied darling, but absolutely refused to see his father before she died. She had hardly finished her report before I fainted away, and after several successive fits, miscarried of the dear pledge of my Charles's love.